Like to continue with the theme of the mindfulness of breathing, and as we're approaching the end of the discourse on Anapanasati, the elements of insight are, say, much more prominent. They're these are sort of the culmination of the practice, so that they've been laying the foundations through mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of feelings, mindfulness of the mind itself, and now turning attention to contemplating Dhamma. And this is the sort of the second last stage of mindfulness of breathing. Nirodha Anupassayi, contemplating cessation. I breathe in, contemplating cessation, I breathe out. And there's a whole constellation of nuances around this contemplation of cessation, and it's interesting that the Buddha is bringing this at the toward the very end of the aspects of insight. And I think certainly the most striking thing to me, to my mind anyway, when we contemplate cessation, is that just really allowing things to cease. Because the drive, the tendency, the habit is always toward becoming, or almost always. It's always towards becoming, being, on to the next thing. What do I do now? And just to attend to cessation and allow that to form the basis for peace. One of the aspects of say reflection when we think of cessation is to put it in the context of, say, the Buddhist context, that this is everything is turning toward balance, and so that the cessation that we're talking about is not, let's say, annihilation or non-existence. This is a natural phenomena of the quality of ceasing, and because there's a very lovely discourse when the Buddha speaking with Gajahana Gotta, saying that the world is always caught up in one extreme or another, tending toward the notion of existence and the notion of non-existence, attitta and natitta, affirmation and negation, sort of being and annihilation of being. As long as the mind is caught in those extremes, that flip-flopping back between extremes, then the mind can never really find peace. It doesn't really find a point of balance. But the reflection on cessation is a helpful tool for creating balance. in that the word Nirodha has a this sense of one of the translations of the word Nirodha from ancient times is say along with the, say that sense of cessation and ending destruction is the free of impediment, free of imprisonment, sort of being free, negation, roda as being the kind of impediment or restriction, constriction, imprisonment. So being free from imprisonment. And that, so that cessation is the opportunity to free the heart from its qualities of that imprison, hold it, stick it in suffering. And that's always the, you know, we talk about cessation. The main use of the word is around cessation of suffering and the ending of the ending, bringing suffering to an end, allowing suffering to come to a point of ending. Because the tendency is that you know we keep viewing things in the way that perpetuates suffering and perpetuates dissatisfaction, perpetuates discontent, and to with the mindfulness of breathing to attend to that quality of allowing that discontent to cease, allowing that dissatisfaction to cease, allowing the quality of suffering, of stress, to cease, and as we practice when we're sitting, and to as we breathe in to pay attention to a quality of ceasing. It's on a natural, naturally, as we breathe in, there's a becoming, a being. The breath comes into being, and then the in breath has to come to an end. It has a natural ending point. It ceases, and the same with the out breath. As the breath goes out, there is this there's this movement, and then it ceases. So in the natural order of things, there always is the cessation. Now, in terms of our practice, to attend to the quality of cessation and ceasing, within the mental framework of how we're holding things, the quality of trying too hard, trying to make things be the way we want it to be, and not sort of relaxing, the mind getting stuck in this feeling of stress, a feeling of insecurity, a feeling of trying to prop up security, so that sense of letting it all cease, the mind just trying so hard to make things be the way we want them to be, and allow that to cease. And then when the mind goes to, inevitably as we're sitting meditation, you know, what happens when we sit? You know, rather than becoming peaceful, oftentimes the mind is just this stuff popping up all the time, and we grab onto it, and we, the mind starts to proliferate around it. It starts to, buy into the particular mood of I want this, I need this, I have to have it this way. Or you know, feelings of agitation and irritation. It shouldn't be this way, I don't like it. This is awful. And because there's this becoming power, the mind is moving to becoming. And you know, and will the mind that is unwilling to settle, unwilling to be peaceful, is always looking for something to buy into, to you know, to think about, or to have that affirmation of feeling. So to turn attention to ceasing, to really allow ceasing to become conscious, allow that particular feeling of and thought of I want that, I need that, I have to, this has to be done, this needs, that person is like this and like this and like this. Just allow that to cease. You don't have to annihilate it in the way that you say that that's another extreme. I need to destroy it, I need to annihilate it, I have to get rid of it. That's another extreme in the mind. Naturally, it has to cease. And cessation is a part of the natural phenomenon. So to allow it to cease, and to attend to that ceasing, so that there's an opportunity for peace to establish itself. And this is an important part of our practice in terms of giving ourselves the opportunity to experience what a peaceful mind is like, because it does, you know, the mind is always filling itself up with stuff. It's like when they first went to Chithurst they bought this old mansion, and the place was old, it was derelict, it hadn't been looked after, it was really falling apart. What is now the shrine room, you could look up from there, up through two stories and see out the roof. You could look down through the hole in the floor and see down into the basement. So it was completely derelict. But it was also filled with junk. Absolutely everything that the owners had ever had in their lives, they had kept. And the place was chock-a-block full. Every single room was full of junk. Outside was full of junk. There was, I can't remember how many derelict cars there were. There was a dozen or 20 derelict cars that had been left to rot, and but they hung on to them, they kept them. And you know, how much of that same squirreling away of thoughts and ideas, impressions, worries, fears, irritations, pet peeves, do we just keep squirreling away and just keep hanging on to it, finding a corner to stuff it in, and that's what our mind starts to look like. It's this sense of this unnavigable kind of a conglomeration of impressions and feelings and thoughts, because they're never allowed to cease. We never give it the space to cease and really come to cessation. So to really make that conscious, to make conscious that quality of ceasing and cessation. As we're practicing, just to bringing to mind the natural quality of cessation, to feel that both not just on an intellectual level, but on a very physical level, experiential level. What does it feel like when the breath ceases and stops? There's a small window there. Start to pay attention to that. What does it feel like when a particular feeling or thought stops, ceases? Start to attend to that. Because that's like a wedge that we can place in the mind stream that keeps proliferating, keeps entangling itself. As we pay attention to that wedge of an opening of cessation, then you realize that we can actually move into that quality of peace. We can actually abide in that quality of cessation. That is a possibility. And just as in the Buddha's encouragement in this part of the discourse, contemplating cessation, I breathe in. Contemplating cessation, I breathe out. So that each in-breath and each out-breath is imbued with this quality of cessation, turning to peace, turning to settling, allowing the quality of the mind to turn to balance, rather than the leaping out at becoming and being, or lashing out at cessation, at annihilation and extinguishing, pushing away, allowing the mind to truly settle, so that quality of cessation. As we attend to cessation, one of the aspects of this quality of cessation, if I was thinking about this a few days ago, of the within the three characteristics, that's tying that in maybe with the quality of emptiness, in that cessation. And cessation of particularly the self-view, the self-grasping, allowing when that allowing that to cease, then we're able to have a window into emptiness. So that attending to cessation, attending to emptiness, and thinking, remembering a little exercise that Ajahn Jamnian had people do at the retreat this last year, where having people sit with their eyes open and pay attention to start to attend to that, say there's the floor and then there's the eye, and that sense of okay, there's the act of cognition, there's the thing cognized, and start to rest attention at a midway point in between them. Start to pay attention, resting attention, focusing attention at a place between that which is cognized and that which is cognizing, say the eye and the object of the eye. And it's a place of emptiness. And you notice how difficult, if you do that, that isn't the natural thing that we do. We don't pay much attention to emptiness or the in-between spaces. We're always going to one thing or another that is tangible or that is is sort of clear to us in some way. And it's similar with cessation. Either we're going to the notion of existence or the notion of non-existence, and we don't really abide in cessation. We don't pay attention to cessation. In the same way, we don't, in terms of the act of cognition, we either go to the object or we go to the subject, and we don't really pay much attention to the actual emptiness in between. So that to do that as an exercise, to work with that, to cultivate that, that attention to a middle point, a point of balance, and seeing, and rather than seeing cessation as a, say, an ending, a ceasing, a annihilation, a destroying of something, it's a natural quality of peace that is within the cycle of coming into being and passing away of all things. And that opens a window for us to view things in a different way and start to relinquish the attachments to existence and non-existence, the trying to get something, gratify, or aversion and pushing away, liking and disliking. And can we be in a place in the middle, which is a point of ceasing of suffering, a cessation of suffering, because that's the suffering is always going around trying to get or trying to get away from, trying to be or trying to not be. And to come to a place of the end, allowing the suffering, the stress, the dissatisfaction to actually cease, and to do it consciously, to be present for that, to be there with it, so that this mindfulness of breathing is giving us starting to give us a window into an opportunity of liberation, of freedom. A freedom from impediment, a freedom of, getting out of the prison that we set for ourselves. In terms of practice and training, this is why the samatha practices are very important. Because in order to become more and more familiar with the peaceful places of our mind, the settled and still quality of the mind, of the heart, to be able to just become increasingly familiar with the ability of the mind to actually stop and to settle. And then one doesn't have to make anything of it. It's just that's the capacity of the mind to stop, to settle. But then to take that further and then the that sense of going, making cessation very conscious, because we can always, that becoming mind can infect the practice of tranquility as well, where we obstruct the capacity of the mind to become really peaceful. Giving oneself the opportunity to really bring cessation into consciousness, contemplating it. And that, opens up a window for the mind to really settle. So that contemplating cessation, tying it in with say emptiness, particularly of the that sense of self that arises, allowing that quality of what we that I and me of that gets so sort of involved in evaluating the results, trying to become something, trying to look for a pat on the back, trying to affirm something, or going in the other direction of the feelings not measuring up to what we wanted to be, thinking that one's hopeless, thinking that I'm never going to get this practice, I'm never going to understand anything, my mind is never going to become peaceful. That's just the nattering of the self, and to start attending to the cessation of things, because you know nothing is you can, just nothing arises that doesn't cease. So that to start to attend to the cessation of things. That's like Ajahn Chah being asked one time by a person. She was in England, of she was experiencing, say, strong anger and being swept up by it, and asked, how do I deal with this anger? It just seems so ingrained. And Ajahn Chah, you know, rather than giving some other technique, you directly went and said, "Well, you sort of go to the root of it and say, well, just take an alarm clock and set it for 2 hours and see when you next time you get angry, just go and set that alarm clock and see if you can be angry for 2 hours. You can be completely, totally an unalloyed state of anger for 2 hours." You can't do it. It's always in a process of flux. It's arising and ceasing. The cessation is happening. It's just that we don't attend to the cessation. What we attend to is the becoming, the being, all the reasons why it should be there, why it's justified, why it's right and righteous to be following that train of thought, but the reality is that there's a constant arising and ceasing taking place, and we don't pay attention to the cessation. We forget about the cessation, so we don't open up an opportunity for peace for ourselves. So that attending to cessation is such a it gives us a window of cutting through the mind that entangles itself and suffers. We say, I don't want to suffer. I want to experience the end of suffering. I want to be free. I want to be liberated. But we keep biting into the things that perpetuate the agitation and the dukkha, and we don't make conscious the cessation, the ceasing, the quelling, and that's a word that Ajahn Buddhadasa uses in this. The word that he uses for nirodha, he prefers, is quenching. Quenching. That's when you think of cessation. Again, it's sort of the association is one of sort of ceasing annihilation. But so it's important to have these terminologies so we re reconfigure our associations and perceptions, that sense of quenching, really coming to a place of quench as we breathe in, to almost steep the heart in a quality of quenching. This quenching, this, like a thirst is quenched, a hunger is quenched, a feeling of desire and kind of agitation is quenched. There's this very peaceful quality that we're able to access. So there's a sense of attending to cessation, nirodha. Inevitably, the quality of nirodha is one that, you know, sometimes we just forget to attend to it. We forget that it's a part of the whole picture. So that very much needing to make that conscious and to use it as a tool to step back from that tendency to be always going on to the next thing, always looking for something else that we have to do, something we have to make happen in our practice. Attending to quenching, attending to cessation. So I'll offer that for reflection this morning.
Sammayana vacca kathā ca tu kā